This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So, celebrities are pretty rich, right? Take your Chris Pratts and Cardi B's and Dwayne The Rock Johnsons. The people who shape pop culture and influence the way it works are worth tens of millions of dollars. And in some rare cases, even a lot more than that. And most of them will continue to be insanely wealthy for as long as they know how to spend their money well and save some just in case, one day, their popularity fades. It happens. My point is, when a celebrity is being paid something like $20 million for a single movie, you don't expect them to be running a completely different business on the side. I mean, financially speaking, why should they? But more often than not, they do, and a lot of famous people run businesses that have nothing to do with their mainstream personas. Some of these are passion projects, others were sparked by curiosity, and a lot of them are bona fide multi-million dollar companies that act as a steady source of income for these celeb entrepreneurs. That's what today's episode is going to be about. Celebrities, as in actors, actresses, musicians, models, the rich and the famous who have opened companies and kickstarted brands that you wouldn't expect. For example, Hugh Jackman. Yeah, that Hugh Jackman, actor, dancer, singer, Wolverine, that same Hugh Jackman, actually owns a coffee company, and he gives all of its profits away to a good cause. Let's start with that as number one for today's list. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today's episode is called 5 Celebrities Who Own Businesses That You Wouldn't Expect.
Number one.
So like I said, overall good guy Hugh Jackman owns a coffee company called Laughing Man Coffee, and there's actually a pretty sweet story behind this venture of his. See, a few years ago, Hugh Jackman visited Ethiopia with a film crew to make a documentary about the lack of fair trade in certain parts of the world and how it affects ground-level people who basically do all the heavy lifting. So during his trip, Jackman was introduced to a coffee farmer named Dukale. See, Dukale worked on the farm all day to feed his family. His children couldn't afford to go to school because they needed to help collect firewood to process the coffee, and unfortunately, it was the only way Dukale could make enough money to keep the family afloat. Now, the big question in everyone's mind was, why was Dukale in this position? 1.6 billion cups of coffee are consumed every single day all around the world. It's a massive, massive market, yet the farmers who produce the beans that make the coffee are unable to tap into this market. Why? Because it's a lopsided system. Because of political problems, economical structures, and just plain old greed, people like Dukale were not able to access markets that could offer fair prices on their coffee. This is where Hugh Jackman comes in. Jackman knows that as a celebrity, he has a certain profile that most people don't have in this world. He basically has the Hugh Jackman brand, and he wanted to use that profile to bring awareness to fair trade. So he made friends with Dukale, formed a business partnership with him, and they founded Laughing Man Coffee.
I didn't quite get it. Right. I didn't quite get it. But wait, but you, what is it up with you and coffee?
So, I read this book by Kochner, who was Paul Newman's partner in Paul Newman's Own.
Right.
And it's called Shameless Exploitation in the Pursuit of Common Good. And it was such an inspiring book about the story of Paul Newman's Own. And I thought, this is the way to try and use whatever profile you have. So when my partner said, oh, let's try and do a business with coffee and all the proceeds go to charity, I was like, I'm in. So this is it.
So what is it called?
It's called
Laughing Man Coffee.
Laughing Man Coffee. It might help.
Where's the coffee from?
So we get coffee from Indonesia, from South America, from Ethiopia. And in fact, really the journey began when I was in Ethiopia with World Vision. I'm an ambassador for World Vision. And I spent a day working on a farm with Dukale and working on his farm, seeing how hard he worked. And I made a promise to him I'd do whatever I could to try and help him out. We now buy from Dukale directly.
Are you kidding, really?
Yeah. And so some of what you're drinking there is from Dukale's
farm
in Yogeshwar. Yeah,
all right,
so there you go.
Now, the unique thing about Laughing Man is that Jackman doesn't keep any of the profits. He basically donates all of it to the Laughing Man Foundation that he set up a few years ago. And the Laughing Man Foundation channels the money to things like building irrigation systems, sending students to college, and paying for roofs, floors, and other home improvements for the underprivileged community. A portion of the profit goes directly back to the coffee farmers to benefit them and to bring awareness to fair trade itself. Now, you're probably wondering what happened to Dukale, right? Well, World Vision got hold of this project and they helped Dukale to construct a methane gas system to convert cow manure into lamplight and cooking flame. This means that he doesn't have to cut down his trees anymore, which means that he can keep those trees to provide shade for his coffee, and that his family would no longer have to spend their days collecting firewood. So today, Dukale's children are in school and his wife owns a small shop in the village and he's teaching his fellow farmers cutting-edge agricultural techniques. It's a pretty cool venture. All in all, it's a very good idea from Hugh Jackman. It's noble, I think. So the next time you see Hugh Jackman on screen, you can add environmentally conscious coffee company entrepreneur to his extremely long list of achievements. Right, we've got a few minutes left before the break, so let's move on to number two. Ashton Kutcher owns an investment firm that backs up a lot of big tech companies that you read about today.
I think the first thing that I'm looking for in an entrepreneur is this somebody that I want to work for? As an investor, I don't really put myself outside of the company. I try to put myself in the company. And at the end of the day, you have to have somebody who has absolute domain expertise on whatever problem they're trying to solve or whatever like solution they're trying to hack. I think two, they have to be able to sell their product. If they can't sell their product to me, how are they going to sell their product to their consumers? Then the last thing is I think that they have to be generous people and thoughtful. They have to be the kind of person that you want to work for when things aren't going well, because things aren't always going to go well. And so that really comes down to being a generous person and being somebody who has grit and the ability to overcome a great obstacle.
Number two.
That was a soundbite of Ashton Kutcher talking about his investment firm called A-Grade Investments to CNN Money. The thing is, Ashton Kutcher isn't a new entrepreneur. A lot of people don't associate him with entrepreneurship, but he's been doing this for a very, very long time now. But it's funny, right? It's funny how most people, myself included, still see him as that dweeby dude from That 70s Show. Or if you want a more recent reference, he's the guy who played Steve Jobs in one of the two Steve Jobs movies at the time, and his wasn't so good. All that aside, Ashton Kutcher is a pretty savvy business person and has made some very profitable investments in the past, and he's really interested in the tech scene specifically, so a lot of his money gets channeled in that section. See, a few years ago, Ashton teamed up with Guy Ossieri, and you might know him, and his name might sound familiar for those of you who are fans of Madonna, because he is the longtime manager of Madonna, and the two of them managed to rope billionaire Ron Burkle into the mix as well, and the three of them founded A-Grade Investments. Now, at first, a lot of people thought that Ashton and Guy were just a couple of celebrities who thought they knew what they were doing in the tech sphere, but once these guys managed to take $30 million and turn it into $250 million with some shrewd backing decisions, people started to realize that Kutcher and Ossieri were not fooling around. 7 years ago, Ashton's company invested $500,000 in Uber. And at that time, Uber was a new startup company. And now that investment is literally worth 100 times more. So that was a hugely successful investment. The A-Grade Investments has also backed 70 other companies. And some of those companies are Skype, Airbnb, Spotify, Pinterest, Shazam, Warby Parker. The list just goes on and on and on. And if Ashton keeps making smart investments like this, then in about a decade, he'll be more popular for being a huge name in the tech scene instead of a popular TV star from the 2000s. We're talking celebrities and some pretty unexpected businesses that they own on today's episode. And so far, we've talked about Ashton Kutcher's investment, A-Grade Investments, and Hugh Jackman's coffee cafe and brand Laughing Man Coffee. We'll kick off with Jaden Smith's drinking water company when we come back after some messages. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you're still listening to 5 for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and it's all about the rich and the famous on today's show and how some of them own companies and businesses on the side that are kind of unexpected or have nothing to do with their mainstream personas. Just basically stuff that you wouldn't expect them to run, like Ashton Kutcher running an investment firm that backed Uber a decade ago, or like our next story about Jaden Smith and how he owns an eco-friendly water brand. Yeah, that's number three on today's list.
Number three.
You know Jaden Smith, star of films like The Pursuit of Happiness, The Karate Kid remake, the Netflix series The Get Down, and he's also huge in the music scene with insanely popular songs like Icon Living. Oh, and he's also the son of Hollywood superstars Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, so no stranger to fame and fortune there. But what you may not know is that Jaden Smith also runs a boxed water operation called Just Water.
The state that the world's in, it just really needs help. Anything to do with educating and helping to push the movement of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is something that I want to be a part of. We need more people that are really talking about these hard problems, because that's where your invention can come in. That's when your innovation can come in. The reason that I wanted to start Just was because I saw so much plastic out in the world. I saw what happens when plastic goes to waste in our environment and how it affects us. That's when I really felt like I really needed to do something and make a difference. So I'm trying to eliminate as much plastic as possible.
You can tell from that soundbite that this is something that he's been passionate about for a very long time now. According to this article that I saw on The Cut, the idea behind Just Water is pretty simple. It's supposed to be an eco-friendly alternative to bottled water, and it only costs 99 cents per box. It also has a unique design, so instead of a plastic bottle, Just Water comes in a biodegradable rectangular box that's usually a bright blue or some other vibrant variation. Jaden's logic is that people should ideally be drinking tap water because it's already filtered and processed enough to be consumed, yet for some reason everyone still buys water in plastic bottles. So obviously this causes pollution, especially in the ocean, which is something that Jaden has been pretty vocal about on more than one occasion. I think, did I just rhyme? I honestly like the idea. I mean, I don't know if Just Water can completely change the plastic problem in the world, but I like that Jaden Smith is using his celebrity profile to bring awareness to the subject. I mean, we're talking about it here in Malaysia on Five for Fortune, so the branding must be pretty on point at least, right?
Number four.
When I started the Film Center, Tribeca Film Center in New York, one of our partners, Drew Napier, and I, he had a terrific restaurant in the neighborhood, and when I did the Film Center, I asked him to be open the Tribeca Grill, and that's how it started. Then when I saw Nobu in L.A. over 20, 25 years ago.
No, 30 years ago.
It was a long time ago. I said, if you ever want to open a restaurant in New York, I ate once. I said, it's a no-brainer, so that's how it started.
Now, if you're a big movie buff, you would have recognized that soundbite as the voice of Hollywood legend Robert De Niro, star of Taxi Driver, The Godfather 2, Raging Bull, Heat, Cape Fear, and of course the critically acclaimed masterpieces Dirty Grandpa and Meet the Parents trilogy. Yeah. Anyway, what a lot of people don't know is that Robert De Niro is also a longtime entrepreneur and has been in the restaurant business for decades. His most famous chain of restaurants, though, is one that's extremely famous, even here in KL, and that's Nobu. It's a globally acclaimed restaurant. Chef Nobu's name is world-renowned. But the thing most people who dine at the restaurant don't know is that it's partially owned and run by actor Robert De Niro. So here's how that happened. So back in the late 80s, Chef Nobu opened a restaurant in LA called Matsuhisa, and it quickly became a celebrity hotspot. One of his regulars was, of course, Robert De Niro, who really loved the black cod and miso, so he kept coming back again and again. And after a couple of visits, De Niro pitched the idea of opening a restaurant in New York to Chef Nobu. But because this new restaurant in LA was just getting started, he sort of declined the offer and thought that Robert De Niro would forget about it. But about 4 years later, and this was, you know, by the time this was the 90s, De Niro brought up the idea to Chef Nobu again, and this time they went along with it. So Robert De Niro and Chef Nobu signed a business partnership with a couple of others and officially launched Nobu, which is now one of the most famous restaurants in the world. We're talking celebrities who own businesses that you wouldn't really expect them to. So if you miss any parts of the show and would like to listen to it again, you can stream the show and all our shows actually on the BFM app, available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Anyway, did you know that Beyoncé runs a vegan meal delivery service? That's number 5 on today's list.
Number 5.
So yeah, Beyoncé. Singer, songwriter, fashion icon, probably one of the most successful artists and record producers of our generation, influenced a whole age of music with her songs, empowered a whole generation of women with her influence. That Beyoncé. She owns and runs a vegan meal delivery service called 22 Days Nutrition. And it's a pretty straightforward concept, actually. It's pretty cool. Back in 2013, Beyoncé decided to go vegan, and she got nutritionist Marco Borges to help her make that transition. Beyoncé believed in the shift so much that she decided to partner with him again to work on a diet plan that could be delivered to people's homes instead of making them come out to look for it. The result of that is 22 Days Nutrition. The plant-based dishes are 100% organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and non-GMO ingredients. And the idea behind the diet is based on a general psychologist theory that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. Therefore, reaching 22 days is meant to act as a breakthrough. Just YouTube 22 Days Nutrition and you'll see a ton of people talking about how they took up Beyoncé's 22-day challenge and followed her diet and lost X amount of pounds and stuff. It's actually pretty interesting stuff. Now, I like the idea behind 22 Days Nutrition and, you know, it helps that it's backed by a celebrity. Not because it makes it better, but I'm guessing that people like Beyoncé would really check the quality on whatever has her name attached to it as a way to look after her brand. So it definitely helps in that sense. But the thing is, like all things Beyoncé does, this stuff is pretty premium and priced accordingly as well. The price starts at 5 meals for 5 days at $78 to 66 meals that's 22 days at $609 for those meals, which levels out at about $10, $9.24 US per vegan meal, excluding the $20 shipping fee. So not exactly cheap and not exactly affordable, but the way I see it, vegan diets are pretty expensive anyway, and I'm not talking about those mock meat, vegetarian, chapfan, mutton stuff that's made out of soy, because those are cheap, those are affordable. I mean, actual vegan cuisine is pretty expensive, so I guess you can't fault 22 Days Nutrition. Still, it's a pretty interesting business, and if people are getting healthier thanks to Beyoncé, then that's just one more thing she can add to her huge pile of achievements that she's already collected over the years. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this episode. I'll be talking about Generation Z next week and what employers can look out for when hiring them because they're entering the job market, and what they can look forward to and, you know, when employing them and stuff, unique traits and, you know, that this new generation has and all that stuff. So tune in for that Friday, 11 o'clock next week. Also, stick around for Enterprise Biz Bytes coming up at noon. Lots of business and tech stories to keep you up to date. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.